As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Yo, how I work this shit?
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show podcast on The Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got a full squad today, folks. We got Trevon Edwards, we got Mo Dakhil, we got James Edwards III, and we got Jay King, and we've got...
Yeah, but...
Yo, how I work this shit?
New York strip steak?
Ooh! This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. I got Trevon Edwards. I got Jared Weiss. I got Mo Dakhil. I got Jay King with me today. Jade Hoy producing. And we're back. People have been tweeting me asking, hey, is Buds over? No. Just lazy. Nothing going on this summer, right? Like we did some pods and then just, you know, there's pods on the network. We get to it when we can. But we're back. We got a new season.
We're back.
We got informal workouts happening soon. We got training camp happening soon and media day happening soon. And so, of course, a couple weeks before that,
yo, how I work this shit?
We had the NBA trying to sneak that Robert Sarver decision, that punishment, try to sneak it in after week one of the NFL season, try to just like, oh, hey, by the way, guys, with just this major suspension and fine and everything. But no, don't worry. Nothing's wrong here. But I want to start this off by reading two things, okay? First, this is Robert Sarver's statement following the punishment announcement, okay? The following statement is attributed to Mr. Sarver. Good leadership requires accountability. For the Suns and Mercury organizations, that begins with me. While I disagree with some of the particulars of the NBA's report, I would like to apologize for my words and actions that offended our employees. I take full responsibility for what I have done. I am sorry for causing this pain, and these errors in judgment are not consistent with my personal philosophy or my values. I accept the consequences of the NBA's decision. This moment is an opportunity for me to demonstrate a capacity to learn and grow as we continue to build a working culture where every employee feels comfortable and valued. I am extraordinarily proud of the Suns and Mercury organizations and the record we have built concerning diversity, inclusion, and giving back to the community. It means a great deal to me that our dedicated and hardworking employees have made Phoenix a basketball destination, both for players and fans. Okay, that's a nice statement. Let me read the one from a year ago. As Baxter Holmes was unleashing this report from ESPN, okay? Robert Sarver, managing partner, Suns Legacy Partners, LLC. I continue to be shocked by the false reporting from Baxter Holmes. While there is so much that is inaccurate and misleading in the story that I hardly know where to begin, let me be clear. The N-word is not part of my vocabulary. I have never called anyone or any group of people the N-word or referred to anyone or any group of people by that word, either verbally or in writing. I don't use that word. It is abhorrent and ugly and denigrating and against everything I believe in. The way I lead my personal and professional life makes that clear. Instead of reporting the truth, Holmes' story is based on misrepresentations from former Suns coach Earl Watson and other unnamed, quote-unquote, sources. Mr. Watson created an unprofessional and toxic atmosphere in our organization. He is clearly not a credible source, despite hearing from witness after witness that disputed Mr. Watson's stories. Mr. Holmes completely disregarded the truth here. Now we are in the position of trying to disprove things that did not happen. At this point, I would entirely welcome an impartial NBA investigation, which may prove our only outlet for clearing my name and the reputation of an organization of which I am so very proud.
Can we just talk about the voice change you made while reading the first one and the second one?
That was evil Robert Sarver.
No. It was impressive. I'm just saying. Well done, Zach.
Thank you.
For once, I'm giving you a compliment.
Thank
you. Let me give it to you.
It feels like a trap.
Good job.
It feels like a trap.
It is. It always is, Zach.
This dumbass. I mean, I swear to God. Like, this punishment is one. It's funny because, like, everyone's like, well, the Sterling thing, you took away his team. It's like, well, sort of. You had his wife, like, help sell the team so that they could all get money, right? So it's not just this one-to-one, like, get rid of this guy, get his team out of here, give him the billions, and he's on his way. Like, it's not that easy. It's why you don't see that stuff very often. Two, part of Adam Silver's just horrific PR journey during this whole thing over the last couple of weeks has been the idea that Robert Sarver, this is stuff he used to do, but his attitude, his record and everything over the last few years has greatly changed, and it's proving that. Literally a year ago, Mo, his tone was the exact way you would expect out of all of those allegations. Beyond Earl Watson, right? Like, beyond that. Like, that's, like, he puts it all on Earl and, like, that's never happened. I've never done this. And then the NBA does an investigation. Like, oh, yeah, he did that shit. He's like, yeah, my bad.
Yeah, you got me. I didn't think you were going to look under the rug, you know, kind of situation. The one thing I want to go back to just with the Sterling thing, I don't think people really remember it, but Shelly Sterling basically got control of the team by saying Donald Sterling's incompetent.
Yes.
Right. And and that's what led to it. It wasn't the only thing Silver did was ban Donald Sterling from the NBA. Didn't mean he couldn't own the team. Just meant the dude couldn't go to games, couldn't step in the office. He could still profit off of the team and all of that stuff. It took Shelly Sterling doing all that stuff. So he doesn't actually have the ability to just say, get him out. It would take the majority of owners, which, let's just be honest here, guys. Like, they're not going to have other people start digging in their past.
Right.
Right. And this is everything that would come through it. But yeah, Sarver, I mean, this is just wild. I thought the punishment was light, but I don't think there's much the NBA could do. But damn, Adam Silver, you got to do better in the press conference, man. You got to know you're walking in. You're going to lose. Just don't get blown out.
That was brutal, right? Man. Like, it was brutal.
It was so bad. Like, it was like he came in unprepared thinking like, they're going to talk about the stupid in-season tournament I want to have. You know, we're going to maybe a couple questions about Sarver. And he got lit up.
Well, part of the reason Silver has such a Sterling reputation is because of the way he dealt with the Donald Sterling situation. Like, that set him on a path where everyone was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Everyone has held him up on this pedestal of leading such a progressive league. And so when something like the Sarver thing happens and he's forced to handle it differently, people kind of reflect on it and think, yeah, all right. So it's a hit on Adam Silver. And I don't know if there's much else he could have done. He works for the owners. They don't work for him. But there's like, it's rocky now for him. And he's honestly been like, it's just been smooth sailing for him since that whole Sterling situation. Everyone has really looked up to him, admired the way he's handled himself, admired the way he's handled things for the league. And clearly players are not happy about the Sarver thing, including LeBron James, including Chris Paul. Like, people are really mad that Sarver is able to still own the team,
yeah,
and only find $10 million, which is absolutely nothing to him.
Right. There is only so much you can do with the fining, right? Like, that is,
yeah,
in the, like, you can't break that. That is in the constitution of owning a basketball team in the NBA. Like, that's the max you can do. And so there's not much they can do there. With the suspension, though, Trey, like, as LeBron speaks up and Chris Paul gives his statement and the Players Association give their statement and everything, I think it's the suspension, or maybe it is just the fact that they're not doing what they did with Sterling. But Trey, like, in terms of that, like, I don't think making him sell the team is realistic in this case, because while there is a lot of, like, corroborating, like, stories of people saying, yeah, I was there for that. Yeah, that happened. Yeah, that happened. And the league's like, yeah, this stuff happened. There isn't the recording like there was with Sterling. And that, like, in the terms of, like, what you can force in the public opinion, that stuff matters. And so if that's the case, Trey, then to me, where Silver messed up is the suspension is light, like a year for all that.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, especially when you think about Adam Silver's position and how everybody reacted, it's solely on the good boys club of the owners, right? And it's mainly like, who's going to actually come out and out me when we all got skeletons? You feel me? So
right,
initially, Silver definitely doesn't deserve the he's the face. Obviously, he helps run this league and things of that nature, but this is the owners, you know, governor's league. So, like, the governors are held accountable on these things. And, like, how you mentioned earlier, Donald Sterling's wife forced him to sell. And, you know, everybody internally, when they got bad PR, made the sale themselves. So, I think Amin had mentioned yesterday when we were recording another pod that mainly he has, I think, a certain percentage in the Suns. And would get back probably like $600 million if he was kind of bought out of his situation that was sold or whatever. So, I mean, it would have to be a negative PR type of thing. And obviously, you know, it trickled down with LeBron saying something and then obviously Chris Paul saying something. And I don't think it gets to the extremity of the player saying, well, we won't play for this guy, even though he's not in the building. Right. But it's just going to have to take for other owners to say, like, yeah, this is no place for this in the league. But I don't think they mount up that way just because they have their own stuff that they're dealing with internal as well. So it's kind of like, oh, you're throwing rocks at a glass house. All right, be prepared. You know what I mean? Because I'm coming back at y'all. Right. So I just don't think anybody wants to dance with Sarver on that. And I think, you know, he's going to kind of hold a stake for it. But yes, there should be bigger consequences, especially given him lying, him giving, trying to mess up Earl Watson's rep, yes, progressively thinking about the firings of African-American employees in 2020. I mean, there's so many different things that it's just really uncalled for, but this is not going to go away. This is a long-term thing, but it's going to be whether it's coverage of it and then also new things coming out, because I feel like more people are going to try to push the narrative to be like, yes, this happened to me. And although there's no recordings, maybe some of these testaments will be strong enough to get him to sell the team.
Right.
Or his portion of the team. Because PayPal's out of it down too.
Well, all right. Jared, I want to ask you about the PayPal thing, okay? Because, first of all, the Kia statement was an absolute nothing burger. They couldn't have sat on a fence more. Like, hey, we don't like this, but we support the NBA. Yeah, we know. Okay. Like, you're a sponsor of the NBA. We know you support the NBA. Like, you should have said nothing rather than saying anything at this point. That was such bad PR. But the PayPal thing, okay, the CEO of PayPal comes out and says, hey, a year from now, when his suspension's over, if he's still running this team, we're out of here. And I saw people react to that and like, oh, here we go. Like, the money's out. Good for PayPal. And I'm like, they didn't do anything yet. It's easy to say that stuff now. Like, I'll celebrate it if a year from now, Jared, like, the money starts pulling away from supporting the Suns and sponsoring the Suns and all that. If that actually happens a year from now, great. It's easy to just say shit right now, though, and take the good PR win, unless you're Kia, and then you don't know how to do that.
I mean, what's the batting average on companies promising a financial boycott a year from now actually following through? It's got to be below the Mendoza line, I'm sure. And this is one sponsor. They're a jersey patch sponsor. I'm not sure how deeply integrated they are into the Suns portfolio, but that jersey patch is pretty replaceable for a sponsor perspective. So I think the hope is that PayPal would lead to a cascading of all of their corporate sponsors pulling out, and you have this run on business with them, and then they have to make that call as a franchise, because they're going to lose most of their revenue and the company is going to go belly up quickly. And it's funny, because if there was any owner in the league that a $10 million fine might actually make them sweat a little, it'd probably be the cheapest owner in the league at Robert Sarver, right?
You know what? That's a good point. Right. That is a good point.
Yeah. So maybe this cascades into a bit of a snowball that can make them shake, but we haven't heard anybody else make any waves with this so far. And if this, it's not like companies are going to, you know, think about this for a month and then decide that they're going to threaten a boycott. Like, this was going to happen in a quick wave, or it wasn't going to happen at all. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're the only ones to really make noise about this.
I mean, the big thing is it's going to take the other minority owners. And mind you, almost all of them signed a statement of support last year for in Sarver's favor. The one guy whose name I'm going to butcher, Jaheim Najafi.
One of the minority partners.
Yeah, comes out and finally, you know, like he from the beginning was like, this is unacceptable, yeah. Blah, you know, the whole deal. And even now has come out going like, he's got to resign. Now, it's almost like they got to work over the next year to try to get Sarver off of this. It's going to be if there's going to be a change in ownership, it's going to come from the minority owners wanting to boot him out. Sarver only owns what, like 35% of the team? So it's going to take the rest of them working to get that done. And, you know, it's if PayPal really does try to make sure, make the point of like, we're out. If the other sponsors come in and say, hey, we're out too, and things like that, then you can start building that case. But if none of those sponsors are coming out, like, this guy's not, doesn't have enough of the stake either to be able to make a move. Like, it's going to come down to the minority owners, I think, to really try to take the team from Sarver. Otherwise, he's going to be back in a year.
Yeah, Jay, in terms of what you expect to happen with this whole thing, like, maybe I'm just too cynical, but I just don't expect a change, even with everyone speaking up. And it's like, I mean, everything you guys have said is correct. Like, the other owners are not going to go around being like, yeah, let's get this guy, because, you know, they don't want their own stuff to be dug into. Yeah, like, exactly. Like, they don't want that, right? We've
seen... You don't want discovery happening.
Right, exactly. Like, we've seen that with, you know, with Hawks ownership years ago. Who was it? Levinson or something? I can't remember who it was, but, like, he had sent, like, this, like, really, like, terrible email about, you know, the black fan base and everything. And all of a sudden, like, and this was, I think, after Sterling, and he's like, oh, my bad. You know what? Let me resign. Let me just collect my money and get out, right? Like, but it's not going to go that easily. And so like, I guess it sucks that it's on the players. It's like that it's on LeBron and the Players Association and Chris Paul to go out there and make statements and stuff. And I do think that's good. But as someone mentioned earlier, like, unless there's going to be a flat out boycott, I just don't see anything happening. Like, the reason the Sterling thing was so quick is because they were going to not play a playoff game. Like, they were just going to be like, nah, fuck both you guys. Teams. Like, we're done.
Both
like,
teams.
Like that's the thing. Yeah, you had both teams. And it's like, unless they're just going to, I don't know, stand out there at half court opening night and just like be like, nah, not until Sarver's gone do we like stop picking up these 5-second violations and the ball's just not going to be inbounded. Like, I don't understand what is expected to happen a year from now.
Well, I think that's part of like the, I don't know how to say this, but that's what's coming next. And I am interested to see whether the players step up and try to do anything like that, because obviously, you know, Chris Paul is pissed off. And Chris Paul, this is the second time that he's been through this. He was there for Donald Sterling. And we saw Steph Curry speak up recently and say one of his biggest regrets is not boycotting that playoff game that you guys talked about. He said that was a moment to leverage beyond anything we probably could have said. And so Chris Paul, he might have similar thoughts to Steph Curry. And now he's got another owner who's done some pretty disgusting things. And the NBA has decided that that owner can stick around. And yeah. He'll be suspended for a year, but he'll still be in charge of the franchise at the end of it. He'll still be the majority owner of the franchise at the end of it. He'll still be the guy employing Chris Paul at the end of it. And so I am interested in seeing how the players respond to this because.
But also, Jay, wait, real quick. I also don't think the NBA can set the precedent of the Players Association moves against an owner and so they make them sell, right? Like, you have, like, in terms of like long term stuff, every collective bargaining agreement is about who has more power. Who wins that one, right? Who has the best piece of the pie and everything? And they've tried to make it split down the middle, but I don't see a situation right. where the 30 NBA governors are going to go out there and be like, yeah, well, you know, the Players Association doesn't like this one of us, so we got to get them out. Like, it's a crazy precedent to let be set.
But at some point, it becomes about the money, right?
Well, and, yes, absolutely.
And the same owners who right now are saying, I don't want my past dug into. I don't want the precedent to be set that we can be removed for something we've done. And it's a slippery slope between being removed for what Sarver done and being removed for something below that, whatever it could be. But if you're losing money, if teams are boycotting games, if that leads to the cascade of like – the endorsement money going away, then maybe the owners change their minds. And who knows? I mean, I'm just talking hypothetically. I have no idea what would actually happen.
Right.
But I do think that players know their power and they understand that if they do stage a boycott, if they do, even the statements that LeBron came out with, Chris Paul came out, those are really powerful. Those guys have a lot
for
of
sure.
power. And a lot of people listen to the things those guys say. And so if they do elevate the fight, then I think it's going to be a fight that the NBA does not want.
Trey, I think we'll see a wave of this at Media Day because it's going to be the first opportunity people, you know, the media has to ask players about this. And I don't think it'll just be the Suns. I think it's going to be across the league asking them about the Sarver thing. But then after that, my fear is that it just kind of subsides. Like, we just get distracted by the next thing. We just go on to whatever the next scandal or viral moment or whatever is. And then a year from now, you know, Sarver's suspension will be over and we'll be like, oh yeah, right. We forgot about that. PayPal, you still in on this? Hey, what's going on? And so, Trey, I wonder how activated the players can remain on this.
I think that honestly, they're going to, you know, I feel bad for the Suns and Monty Williams and them because it's going to constantly be a distraction. I think that the media is going to continue to work on them and yeah. how they feel each night in. And it's kind of been like that for the past 4 years where something's a big story and it continues to have that black cloud. Like the Nets are going to go into camp being asked about Durant and Kyrie Irving throughout that entire mm-hmm. season. It's not going to be some sort of normalcy. Even Ben Simmons finally joining the team and potentially playing this full season. So you look at the certain things of like every team's going to have their things. The Lakers are going to have the battle of the point guards. Will Russell Westbrook be traded? How will him and Pat Beverly work together? They got Dennis Schroeder now, like creating the drama. So I think that the Suns are solely going to have to deal with this until it's a bigger problem. You know what I mean? Like if there's more yeah. stories that implements it, but it's definitely going to be at training camp. And, you know, it's definitely going to be that first month for sure and continuing, especially if they're, yeah, especially
maybe,
if they're
maybe every time they go on the road, mm-hmm. right? Maybe every time they go on the road, the new, you know, the media in that city is going to bring it back up or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe you're right.
That's the exact same question with the same phrase they get every single city.
Right. Talk about right. the Sarver thing. It's just going to be that.
Well, Zach, something that you were touching on that's really interesting is we just had in The Athletic on Monday morning, the executive director of the Players Association emphasizing that they want, that they thought that the punishment was BS, and also talking about how they're trying to get in this new CBA, this new form of long-term equity programming for the players so that they can, for instance, have a clearer pathway to trying to become governors of teams and buying teams. Mm-hmm. So the way that the Players Association acts, especially guys like LeBron and Chris Paul, who could be owners of NBA teams in the very near future after they retire, this could be a very interesting inflection point of how those negotiations and the way that they set up that program for the future, that might implicate the way that the Players Association is acting with how much they want to
yeah.
get involved with calling for Sarver's ouster.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe that, I mean, you know, the CBA talks are close, but still far enough down the road that that maybe that does get to factor in, especially if the Players Association is willing to really like get into a bunker on this, right? Like really like dig in and find a way to fight on this. Maybe that adds more pressure. But yeah, I'm just too cynical on this. Like I don't see the quote unquote right thing being done, because if it was, I feel like it would have happened with the punishment in the first place.
It's just too hard at this point. Like another shoe has to drop. Yeah. A new character has to come in to change the game. Just right now, there's no way to really just get him out.
That character is Robert Sarver in a wig and mustache, just showing up to the practice facility for over the next year.
Is he just
going
to do the Costanza and be like,
I still work here. Yeah, I'll be in my office. Yeah, I think so. Right. All right, let's move on. It's my favorite game of the offseason. The Lakers signed someone. Does it matter?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
As Trey mentioned, they signed Dennis Schroeder to a one-year deal after his Eurobasket run. But in terms of the Lakers, so now the point guard rotation is Russ, maybe. We think Russ is still going to be involved, but I guess maybe he could go the way of John Wall and just be on the roster but not play. Patrick Beverley, Dennis Schroeder. Now, I want to go to Jay first on this because I feel like you have, the hottest
Jared
takes out of any
Schroeder
of this.
Experts.
But Jay, in terms of Dennis and the Lakers and everything, I guess the Lakers fans could be excited because he's a solid player and he puts up numbers and everything. But I feel like if he was that good, it wouldn't have taken to this point to, like, it's not like teams were worried about signing him because they were worried that, hey, we're going to get too many wins this year with Dennis Schroeder in the mix. Like, I think of him as a guy that puts up stats and doesn't really affect the outcome of games.
Yeah, that's pretty much right. He was also very against playing for the Lakers. Like he was open about how he did not think he fit well on the Lakers.
Yeah.
And how he thought that Boston would be a much better fit for him. And then pretty much the same exact thing happened in Boston, where he was still getting his stats, at least on some nights. He still had pretty high usage, and it just didn't work out with him on the court next to the other best players on the team, especially during crunch time. It was just bad. Like he was not into a fit in the team concept like other guys were fits into the team concepts. And I think that's kind of going to be the same way in LA again. Like he was open about how it didn't fit. He has said it didn't fit. And now they have Russell Westbrook, they have like got other guys that don't fit with Dennis Schroeder. It just, the fit makes no sense. It's clearly a position of desperation for both sides. Like Schroeder knows he doesn't fit next to LeBron. Like he understands that, and still he didn't have any other options. He's back, and the Lakers know, like, oh yeah, that didn't really work out great the last time, and now they're right back with him. I think the only reason it makes sense is because you look at the other guys on the roster and you look at like Troy Brown Jr., like Max Christie, Austin Reeves. Like there are not many established players who are right in their primes on that roster. And Schroeder was the best talent available on the market probably. So I think in a weird way, the signing kind of makes sense. If I were them, I probably would have done it just because he's a wild card who
you need talent,
potentially help you out. You need more talent.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like there's a pretty long history now of Dennis Schroeder just not really fitting into the team concept. The only year when he really did probably was when he was with the Thunder, when he was awesome coming off the bench behind Chris Paul. And they had him, Shai Gilgeous, and Chris Paul in some just awesome, awesome offensive lineups.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, Schroeder's just kind of had a weird career where he's been getting his stats and not really helping teams win.
Yeah, Jared, in terms of what, like, does it, I guess, just does this matter? Does this matter? Yeah. I mean, it's the Lakers, so we have to talk about it, right? We're contractually obligated to talk about the Lakers at any point when they make a move, but does this matter?
Well, listen, you guys got it all wrong. The reason he didn't fit in L.A. was just because of Frank Vogel and no other reason whatsoever.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So now that there's a new coach, he's going to he's gonna make the All-Star team this year.
Right.
And
he
I mean,
work with Darvin Ham before.
What does that mean?
Eh? There we go. I mean, Jay and I just covered a team that almost won the championship basically because they traded away Dennis Schroeder. So I'm not really sure he's
well,
the
that's
answer.
Why the Lakers are doing it. You
oh,
guys
to trade
understand.
Away. Yeah,
they're going to trade it's away. It's their thinking. If we trade him away midseason, we're going to get the same lift
remember,
up that the Celtics
remember we
got.
Had that, year, that thing years ago where it was like anytime a team traded Rudy Gay away, they got better.
Yep.
No matter what the trade was. Like, it was just this weird thing of like, Rudy Gay is super talented. And he's actually, I mean, he's better than Dennis Schroeder, but like, he's a good player. And yet you would trade him away and like Memphis got better and then Toronto got better. And it was just a weird thing.
But Rudy eventually figured it out.
Yeah.
Rudy eventually became like a
Rudy 6'8".
Just a good role player.
Yeah, he's a worse new. He's the worst new Rudy Gay. Like, I don't know if there's a new way to put it. Like, he's just it's okay.
Well, the big thing with Schroeder
is, do we think
is,
there's a way that Schroeder like just learns, like he just learns, like, okay, I was probably going to get a big contract a couple years ago. I still went into Boston thinking I was going to play great, get a big contract, but now the league looks at me like I'm just not helpful, and I had to sign this minimum contract to go back to the team that I've already acknowledged wasn't a great fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
And does that change things for him? Like,
but to what, like what he's going to pass more, he's going to actually play defense. Like, what does that mean?
And that's the thing. And that's why he's a tough fit is because he can't shoot. Like, his percentages are fine, but it takes him forever to get off his shot. He's not a like off ball player. And so he is a tough fit just stylistically, especially next to the best players. Like, you put him next to LeBron James, you put him next to Russell Westbrook. He's not spacing the court for those guys. He needs the ball in his hands. He's taking possessions away from those guys. Anthony Davis, same thing. Like, they needed more shooting. Like, probably could have used a defensive-minded wing. And then, like, hey, Dennis Schroeder, what's up?
And that was Boston's big mistake was they got him to sign – with the you know, with a promise that he was going to have a significant role. And the key here is basically containing him, making sure that you're not giving him crunch time minutes alongside those guys, making sure that you're confining him to a specific role as your third ball handler or secondary ball handler. Because, I mean, to his credit, depending on where Russell Westbrook's pull-up game is right now, he might be their best on-ball choreographer outside of LeBron. So he makes sense if you can limit his role, but the key is like making sure he's not playing more than 20 minutes a game, making sure he's mostly getting second unit minutes.
Right. He can score, but they've got, I think, enough guys who can score in terms of that. Like, you need to like play team ball, and they maybe don't have enough guys who can play team ball. But Trey, it is like, I mean, I still go back to this. There was a point this summer where Jovan Buha said, like, I think their closing lineup is going to be LeBron, Austin Reeves, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Troy Brown Jr., and Anthony Davis. And at least since then, they've added Patrick Beverley, right? Like, that's a guy I think you can trust in crunch time to defend and to make shots or whatever. And then, Schroeder, I wouldn't want him in crunch time, but I didn't want Reeves or Troy Brown Jr. or Juan Toscano-Anderson to play in crunch time either. So I guess it's an upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, The camp will be competitive. Also, now 1 and 2 is kind of open. I'm not sure that Darvin Ham kind of is going to play Russell Westbrook at the 2. Not saying that's a disaster, but ideally trying to get him to defend like his old self. And then Patrick Beverley maybe being that pass first guy that they solely need and they wanted Russ to be. So, I guess on a positive side, you make the players actually want to be better and compete against each other. But like, I just don't see the makeup of this being great. You know what I mean? Like, I think that they add a couple more wins, and then depending on the health of their two stars that they have, you know what I mean? That's leading this team. So it's an interesting hole that they've dug themselves in. They got a ring out of it. But long term, this is still such a huge gamble to bet on. And, you know, LeBron is, you know, arguably a top five player every year. Top three, if that, you know what I mean? And going from there, but it's just such a heavy load to carry, especially as the West continues to get better with Memphis and, you know, the Denvers. Like, Denver got extremely better adding on youth, and they got their needs. And then, you know, with, you know, Triple J, he's not always healthy, but Ja Morant, you know, he's going to turn a corner and continue to get better, and Desmond Bane and company. And then you just
– Clippers will be healthy.
Clippers, hopefully. Kawhi Leonard. We'll see Kawhi Leonard in 21 days. So these are the things that they have to factor in and go about it that way and see things. So it's not as easy or layover, you know what I mean, just because you have a LeBron James on your roster. I do think that he's going to be able to play his best basketball at a high level. But what about the rest of the team? And we witnessed that all last season.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see if they're just going to be like, if they are as good as like Portland, right? It, not just that's, like, can they compete with the rest of the West? It's like, I'm just like, I don't know. I expect Portland to be a lot better than they were last year. Obviously healthy and brought some guys in. Like, are the Lakers definitely better than Portland? I don't know. Maybe they should be. But I like, that's the crazy part to me. It's like, I play that game often in my head. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know the answer. And maybe that'll end up looking stupid. But like, I just look at that. I'm like, I can't even say that for sure.
It won't look stupid. But the one thing that could change it is
I don't like my ally here.
The one thing that could change it
is if they find a Westbrook trade.
Right. Like, yeah, dude, just give up the picks. Go get Miles Turner. Go get Buddy Hield. Give up the picks.
Like, can you flip him into a couple of useful players?
Yeah.
And if you can, then...
Dude, if they make that Turner-Hield trade work, if they can pull that off, like, man, that's a no-brainer to me.
I mean, it's just give LeBron useful players. He'll find a way, right? Maybe not win a championship, but at least make you a team that's we're not going to look at. I'm about to sneeze. Excuse me.
Leave that in jail.
I love the sneeze announcement.
Yeah.
Body's rejecting the idea of the Lakers being optimistic.
He's allergic to Lakers optimism. Like, my own body's like, fuck you. but the idea of like just be something more than a possible play-in team. Like, not make it so that you're pondering at night, Zach, are they better than Portland?
Like, not at night, you know, just kind of like on a walk at certain points, just like, I don't know if they're better than Portland, you know?
Okay.
Just out there moseying along, just letting the mind run a little bit. But wait, hold on. Let me check with the internet laws. Okay, we've fulfilled the Lakers talk for the pod. We can move on.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, I want to move on to this. This I saw from, there are a couple things from Donovan Mitchell's introductory press conference with Cleveland that I found interesting. One was just the whole, like, I thought I was going to be in New York thing, which I think we all thought he was going to be in New York. So that's reasonable.
The whole world
reasonable.
Thought he was going to be in New York.
But Danny Ainge had said this during the summer. What I saw during the season was a group of players that really didn't believe in each other. I think individually they had resolve. I just don't believe that collectively they did. So we saw a lot of players trying to do it on their own as the belief in one another wasn't as great as the other teams I've been on and around. And so Donovan addressed that saying, quote, I don't think we didn't believe in each other. I said at the end of the season, don't trade Rudy Gobert. Let's figure this out. Let's do it. And that didn't happen. For him to say that after 6 months around the team, I disagree. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's his decision. Donovan.
I'm calling bullshit.
With all due respect, bullshit. You guys hated each other as a team. There were players on the team that couldn't stand Quinn Snyder. Like, the chemistry there was horrible. You can't sell me on the idea that this ongoing feud that maybe was just, like, below the surface level, maybe it wasn't as overt as people hoped it was or thought it was, but you can't tell me that Rudy and Donovan believed in each other. You just can't tell me that. You wouldn't pass him the ball.
You also can't tell me that Donovan Mitchell went to the front office after the season. It was like, I need Rudy to stay. We need to keep doing this together.
Maybe he wanted that. Maybe he wanted Rudy to stay as he's trying to find his way out of there so that he could then prove, like, look how bad they are without me. Maybe he wanted that. That I believe.
I think he was doing reverse psychology. If I tell them not to trade Rudy,
and they're going
to
trade him, and then they'll trade me.
I think that was the game there. I mean, yeah. This team had total bad vibes ever since they lost to the Clippers in the playoffs. Like, that team, this team was brutal all year. Just bad vibes all around.
Yeah, I think it was abundantly clear they did not trust each other. And that doesn't mean they don't like each other. Like, that's a totally different conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they did like each other either.
It's the whole Kyrie and Boston thing, right? Like, he goes back and, like, everyone, like, daps him up and everything. And the internet's like, what? I thought Boston hated him. It's like, they can like him as a person and not want him on the team. Like, that's very reasonable.
It was very clear that Donovan had a number of times when he saw Rudy standing with, like, a 6'1 guy right behind him, basically right underneath the basket, and it was just like, you know what? I don't trust that he's going to catch this ball and put it in the bucket, and so I'm not going to pass it to him. And you saw the defense, like, guys, like, rotations weren't right because they didn't trust the next guy to do it. It was clearly a mess. They clearly had no belief in each other. And it, what do you say about Danny Ainge? He's like, he came there and in 6 months.
Been around for the team for 6 months. Yeah. But also, it might be.
It did not take being around there for 6 months.
Yeah. Danny was probably there for 1 game
on TV, and you know.
He figured it out in a week. It wasn't hard.
Just watch.
When Quinn Snyder's talking about, like, our guys love each other. They have lunch together.
Sometimes.
Like, you got, like, that's not really an easy, it's not really a hard thing to figure out there.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I guess, I don't know, Trey, I don't know what Donovan Mitchell's supposed to say there. I don't know if he's supposed to address it, if he's supposed to ignore it. You know, he kind of addresses it there. I just, like, no one's going to believe that, right? Or maybe you do, I don't know.
I mean, whether he says something, whether he doesn't, people going to speculate. So just get it out the way. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, we're talking about it right now, but, you know, that man is on a new team. Hopefully, he can move forward, you know. I was more disgruntled about him being a lifelong Cavs fan before this. So
from New York.
Yeah, the pandering was a little bit much. But to his defense, he was a part of the decision in Connecticut randomly. And good for Cavs fans. I mean, I'm interested to see how he, you know, performs.
That's gonna be a fun team
in the Eastern Conference. And him and, you know, they built up this chemistry between Ricky Rubio and Darius Garland, and you can go down the line and you know, hopefully, you know, guys can stay healthy and they can make some noise. I think the East is the new West.
Yeah, I mean, the East, if you go through the East, right, of just teams that are going to be good, like Milwaukee, Boston, Miami, Philadelphia, Toronto, Cleveland, Atlanta, Chicago, Brooklyn. Like, that's nine right there. We haven't even gotten into the other team. Like, one of those teams not making the postseason, assuming Brooklyn holds it together. But, like, one of those teams not getting into the playoffs.
Two of those teams, because Cole Anthony and the Orlando Magic.
Oh, now you're on board? Or are you just, why are you taking shots at Cole Anthony for no reason? Unprompted. No one's spoken about
Franz
a magic
Wagner
trick.
And the Orlando Magic.
Unbelievable.
Paolo Banchero.
Unbelievable. All right.
He's just really hurt because of the whole Chet thing.
Oh, man. All right, Pete Chet's rookie season.
That was tough.
Yeah. It was even tough for me.
Jay's got to lash out at everybody.
He's got to lash out now. At Cole Anthony now. That makes sense.
Everybody. Anybody that had Jabari Smith is next in Houston. He's going after all of those guys.
It seems unnecessary, but it is, you know, it is Jay King, so it kind of makes sense. Last thing.
The Magic did keep Gary Harris.
Yeah, but then he got hurt. He's out for like 4 months. Yeah, that's gonna be tough. All right, real quick from Shams Charania of The Athletic. It looks like in the next CBA, it is expected that the NBA and the Players Association are agreed to end the one and done rule, change the draft age to 18. This especially makes sense with the G League now being such a resource for guys like going to the Ignite team and everything, or just maybe even having them straight to the NBA teams. Was this as expected for you guys as it was for me? Like, I feel like it's just over the last few years, this has been moving that way. It's like the idea that we're going to have a team in Seattle and a team in Las Vegas at some point. Like, sure, it's news that it's going to happen when it happens. But also, like, I feel like the trend was heading this way.
I only thought it was going to happen in 2023. I thought it was going to happen a year sooner. I thought they were just going to come together.
The 2024
and be like, next
draft is when it's going to happen. Yeah. Well, whenever it helps Bronny get to the league, that's when it's going to happen.
Yeah, but I just thought it was just going to happen. Or I was like, okay. And so I was like, oh, it's a year. That's my only surprise. It's a year later than I thought.
Yeah. And this makes sense
because they keep LeBron in the league an extra year if they delay Bronny's entry, right?
That's true. So actually, maybe they'll make it a two and done now. Maybe they'll change it.
Do you think LeBron was just like, ugh, I'm tired, guys. Can we just come on?
Just let me be Ken Griffey Sr. for a year and get out of here. Just let's get it going. Let's do that. No, shout out to the NBA for getting rid of a stupid rule. That really there for, I don't know why, because Corleone Young and Leon Smith didn't make it as high school guy. Like, I still don't understand why they changed it. Because owners couldn't keep themselves from believing in high school kids. They're like, but these 19-year-old, I can believe in. That makes sense.
Right. A year later, yeah. I like that it was like, yo, these kids are too young coming in. But after a freshman year of college where they go to school for 4 months,
right.
they're ready for millions of dollars.
You just have to get through the first, you just have to have first semester eligibility, get into the second semester of your one and done, that you have to go to school from like January on. Like, you don't need to do any of that shit. It's just, unless you mess up and go to like one of those colleges that goes quarterly, then maybe you do it. But I don't know about that. But that's gonna do it for this edition of the Basket Buds on the Athletic Podcast Network. Make sure that you're subscribed to all of our shows. Make sure you subscribe to the GD Athletic, where you get the best coverage of sports and the best coverage of this upcoming NBA season. For Trey, for Jared, for Jay, for Mo, I'm Zach. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.